The Mishnah taught us that a matzniel lezera, even though we learned that a person is only chayav for carrying substantial amounts of a given item on Shabbos, if you show that even tiny amounts are important to you, for instance, you put it away lezera for planting, or ledugma to use as a sample for customers, or lerefua for medicine, then you can be chayav even with a kolshu, even with way less than the minimum amount. And the Gemara clarifies 3 points about the chiyuv for carrying very tiny quantities. First, the Gemara clarifies, Abaye learns from the Mishnah that it's neo v'shachach lama hitznio. If you put it away and you forgot why you had put it away, and then you carry it out stam without thinking about anything, kola osa al das rishona hu osa. We assume that when you carry it out, it's based on your original intention. It's a continuation of the original intention, and therefore you're going to be chayiv. Second, the Gemara tells us, Amar Rabbi Domer Shmuel mechayiv hayor Rabbi Meir af b'mosi chita achas lezria. When the Mishnah said that you're chayiv for a tiny amount, it means even an amount less than a kazayis, even a chita achas, a single stalk of wheat. Third chiddush, the Gemara says, even though a person can determine what's considered chasha for himself, if a person determines that only a very large amount, an enormous amount of stuff, is going to be chasha, if he wants to empty out his entire house, he's still going to be chayiv on less than his entire house. But l'daito etzel kol adam, we ignore that person's thought in light of the overwhelming majority of humanity who would be machshiv a lot less than that. Then the Gemara goes on and tells for kol adam ein chayav alavel kashiro. The Mishnah had said that when a person gives chashivas to a small amount of an item, other people who never gave chashivas to that item would not be chayiv for carrying it out in small amounts. So the Gemara says that is against Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon holds nischayiv zeh b'machshavas hashal zeh, that I could be chayiv for carrying what you think is chashiv. Then Rava introduces us to a concept. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman. Rava says in the name of Rav Nachman that if you intend to use an item the size of a grogris, the normal shear to be chayiv for carrying food, you intend to use it for eating when you first took it out, and then you change your mind and decide instead to use it for planting, where you'd be chayiv even for a kol shehu, or vice versa, you're still going to be chayiv. There's no requirement that the akira and the hanacha should be b'chada machshava, that you have to have the same plan when you do the akira as you do when you carry it through, as long as you had the proper shear both at the time of the akira and the hanacha for both intentions. But Rava asks a series of three questions which end up in a teku. First says hotzi chatzi grogris lezria v'tavcha. If you take out a piece smaller than a fig for planting, which is enough to be chayiv for planting but not enough to be chayiv for eating, and then it swells up to the size of a grogros, which is enough to be chayiv even if your intent was to eat it, and you change your mind and you decide to eat it, are you chayiv or are you not chayiv? Then he said, what would be the halacha in the reverse case? You take out the size of a grogros, which is again enough of a size to be chayiv for eating, and your intention was to eat it when you took it out, but then it shrunk to less than a grogros, and by the time you did the anacha, you not only had it shrunk to less than a grogros, you changed your mind to use it for zriya, but you don't need a shear to be chayiv for zriya. Would you be chayiv in that case? And then finally he says, what if you do the following? Hotzik a grogros la'achila v'tzamka v'chazer v'tavcha mahu. You took out a shear of a grogros la'achila, and it then shriveled up to less than the size of a grogros, where you wouldn't be chayiv in that shear, but then it swelled up again by the time you did the hanacha. So do we assume that because you did the akira when it was a grogos, hanacha when it was a grogos, that you're going to be chayiv? And again, all of this is left in the teku. So Rava asks Rav Nachman, if a person is going to be chayiv for throwing kazayis of truma into a house that has a dead body inside of it. So the Gemara explains that the shaila is that the house already has some food in it that's a little bit less than a kibetza. You throw a kazayis of food in it that is then mashlim the shear of food in the house to a kibetza. Do we assume that since what you did was chashuv in the world of tumma, because you've now given it enough, the house enough food to become tamei, it also has an impact in Hilchah Shabbos, and you'd be chayiv for violating Hotzah and Shabbos, even though the amount of food that you transferred was less than a grogos. So the Gemara tries to prove that the shear for being chayiv on Shabbos should not be determined by the halachos of tumma from the fact that a person is only chayiv for carrying a grogos of shtei lechem or lechem upon him, and not for carrying a kezayis of shtei lechem lechem upon him, even though the gabi hilchos beis hamikdash, there's an issur of being motzi even a kezayis of shtei lechem lechem upon him from the azara. But the Gemara says you can't bring a proof because removing something from the azara is not a violation of hilchos Shabbos at all, since it hasn't been brought to Rishus HaRabim. I mean, it's only later that you would violate Shabbos when you then bring it out to Rishus HaRabim. So the two actions aren't really the same at all. Then the next Mishnah teaches us two halachos. First tells us hamotzi yochel v'nasan al eskofa. Person brings food from inside his house, puts it on the threshold of the house. He's not chayav for carrying it from the inside of his house to the threshold, nor from the threshold to the Rishus Rabbim, if he does them as two separate steps. And the Gemara explains, because the threshold is neither Rishus Yochel nor Rishus Rabbim, it's a Carmelis, and you're not chayiv for carrying from Rosh Hashiach to a Carmelis, nor from a Carmelis to Rosh Hashiach. If you were to carry straight through the Carmelis, you would be chayiv, which is against Ben Azai, who holds that a motzi mechanos leplati derech stav pater, that even if you carry straight through a Carmelis, you're going to be pater. Second halach in the Mishnah is that kupa shimalei peros v'nasan al skupa chitzona, you have a basket full of fruits, and you put it on the outer part of the threshold, afal pi sherov peros mibachutz, even though the majority of the fruits are in the Rosh Hashanah, pater ad shiyotzias kalakupa. You're pater unless you take the entire basket out into the Rosh Hashanah as well. So on this, the Gemara says a fundamental machlokas amarayim. Chizkia holds the Mishnah speaking about fruits or vegetables that are very long, like kishu and udlu and cucumbers, gourds, where each fruit is still partially in the Rosh Hashanah. Meaning, even though the majority of the fruit is in the Rosh Hashanah, there's no single vegetable or fruit that's entirely in the Rosh Hashanah. But had it been chardal, had it been mustard seeds, where many of the seeds would have been entirely in the Rosh Hashanah, then you'd be chayiv, because according to Chizkiah, eged kli lo shmei eged. We don't view everything that's in the kli as a single unit. Rabbi Yochanan holds that the Mishnah could even be speaking about a basket full of mustard seeds. And even though a lot of the seeds are entirely in the Rosh Hashanah, eged kli shmei eged. We view the entire kli as one unit, and therefore it's as if nothing has been completely brought out into the Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara clarifies how Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan each read our Mishnah, because our Mishnah gives us mixed messages about Eged kli shmei eged, eged kli lo shmei eged, and the Gemara explains, "Amotzi kupas arochum nasal skuba chitzona." If a person took a spice salesman's basket out of Rosh Hashanah and placed it on the outer threshold, you're only chayiv once the entire basket is outside, and that seems to be against Chizkia, because some of the spices must be entirely outside. Whereas, nah, it's not a raya. Maybe the spices we're talking about are very long spices, where none of them are really entirely outside. So then the daf concludes, the Gemara tries to prove Rabbi Yochanan is incorrect based on a brisa, which we didn't get to yet this morning, but about Hagonev Kispa Shabbos. If somebody steals a wallet on Shabbos, so if he's Megarevi Yotzei, he drags the wallet out of the house, then he's pata from paying, since he's chayiv for the Chol Shabbos at the very same time that he incurs the monetary obligation of stealing the wallet. Kamle B'drav Minei teaches you can't be chayiv mamon and be chayiv misa at the very same time. If Rabbi Yochanan were correct, though, that you aren't chayiv for Shabbos until the kli is entirely removed, you would have been chayiv for the money before you chayiv for the chol Shabbos, since the chayiv mamon comes as soon as any complete coin is in the Rosh Hashanah. But if Rabbi Yochanan is correct, right, so the chayiv mamon and the chayiv Shabbos don't come at the same time, you should be able to be chayiv for both. So the Gemara says, nah, that's not a good proof, because we say benascha. Maybe we're not talking about where you're stealing a wallet full of coins. You're stealing long bars of silver, just like we said by the vegetables, that they're long vegetables, and just like we said by the spices, that they're long spices. So nothing is, you're not chayiv for the mamon until the entire thing is removed at the same time, then you're chayiv for Shabbos.